It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Welcome into the show. And obviously, well, maybe not so obvious to a lot of you, but the man of the moment, the man of the last month, did it again. Like, I'm watching the Rockets play, and I'm always someone who will throw in a caveat because I never want to jump to a particular thought or line of thinking over a short span of games, because don't be small sample guys. That's one of my things. But you look at what the Rockets are right now and why they're playing so well. There are multiple factors. A lot of guys playing well. Amen Thompson in his role as your foreman, as in the dunker spot, the guy, his ability to find ways off of other people's playmaking to score. And even he made a nice turnaround jumper off the dribble in the mid-range that I said, okay, that's something I haven't seen a lot from him considering where he operates. So he's certainly been a part of it. We can get into other guys and their contributions, but watching Jalen Green play in this stretch, it's like, okay, he's one of those guys where you can legitimately build a contender around. And it's about his ability to score. And not just that now. You watched his playmaking late in that game, getting Jabari Smith shots, getting other shots. I watched defenses, particularly OKC's last night, try to trap him late because they knew they couldn't stay in front of him. Lu Dort is supposed to be one of the best defenders, perimeter defenders in the game. He had no shot. Just his ability to operate in space kind of changes the Rockets' trajectory, as we've seen. And here's my caveat that we all have to throw in. If he can find the consistency to do this over the course of a season, throw in the whole when Şengün comes back, all the things that will be part of the discussion, no matter what happens to the Rockets the rest of the way, because the questions will be asked, the questions will have to be answered, what do they do with these guys? But for what we've seen, at 22 years old, like, I've made the comparison to, well, when we're talking about a star at 22, look at Anthony Edwards, and he had a remarkable move last night where it's not, I'm going to put John Collins through the rim. It was footwork. It was the fundamentals. Anthony Edwards is still one of one probably. But you look at what Jalen Green's done the last month, and you're like, okay, how far apart are they really? And the difference between the two is Anthony Edwards at his best can be the number one guy on a one seed right now, because of the Rocket situation and the struggles early. We're trying to hope and pray that the state of Florida can help you out. And the state of Florida did the Rockets no favors the last two nights. Like, think about it. The Rockets going to OKC, coming off how hot they've been, and going to OKC and win a ball game. And you're thinking to yourself, hey, the Warriors are going into Miami. Sure, they're undermanned, but they'll have Jimmy Butler. And then they'll go into Orlando on the second night of a back-to-back. And the Magic have played well. They're fighting for a 4 or 5 seed. We'll get help in some way, shape, or form. And despite, you know, that bond that we have with the state of Florida, the no state income tax, you know, that keeps us thinking we're just like them. Facetiously, I'm saying that. The state of Florida said, nah. That's just how the NBA is. You can't ever count on anything. And it was a remarkable night in the NBA. Kelly Oubre is my favorite player in the world right now because of what happened late in their game against the Clippers and what he said to the referees. We'll get into that at some point. There was some controversy regarding the Warriors and Draymond Green's actions. Nurkic is maybe the smartest man in the world. And we're going to play some sound he said about Draymond earlier. And tell me if it's not dead on, because the man, outside of predicting he was going to hit someone again, he also said Draymond needed something, and Draymond kind of pushed back on it because how dare Nurkic diagnose him? Well, nothing since that point has suggested that Nurkic is wrong, but I digress. We'll hear from Jalen Green about the celebration of the Rockets, them winning ball games, how the poise they had in overtime, and that's what I want to stick with. Amen Thompson fouls Jalen Williams, one of the two Jalen Williams on OKC's team. And then he was supposed to foul him again. He doesn't. Jalen Williams gets off a shot that sends the game into overtime, and it didn't matter. It was much like what happened with the Cougs in their game against A&M. Gave up a three that you would have hoped not to have given up, and you responded. Two threes by Dylan Brooks, who had been shooting poorly in the fourth quarter. He had a couple open looks in that fourth quarter. One of them was an air ball, and a couple that barely grazed the rim, but he responded with big threes to start, and they keep rolling. They found a way to get stops. Look, when Josh Giddey is making a shot off his backside on the floor, you're like, okay, maybe it's not our night. Josh Giddey had a great night in place of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but it didn't matter. That's where we are right now. Nothing matters regarding the Rockets. No matter who they see, no matter what the circumstance is, they find a way. And the problem is, Sean, that no matter how well they've played, I was looking at the schedule the rest of the way. 7 out of the 10 the rest of the way are either against playoff teams or play-in teams. So despite what they've done, I think it's still a tough road, because at this point, any loss feels like really damaging, considering what you've pointed out a couple of times. They don't hold the tiebreaker. And like the Florida trip for the Warriors should have been something where, considering what the Rockets did last night, we're talking about them having a half a game lead, just giving them a little buffer. But instead, we've got the Warriors still with the one game lead, despite the, I guess you might, what you would call heroics last night for the Rockets.
Yeah, the hardest part would have been the Rockets winning at OKC, even without SGA.
Yeah.
That's still a really good team. And you'd think, well, surely, like you mentioned, at least split the
one
Florida
of the,
game.
One of those Florida teams would have got the Warriors.
They're both playoff, play-in kind of caliber teams. The Heat are trying to not be a play-in caliber team. They're trying to be a playoff caliber team. And like you mentioned, the Magic are in the 4-5, trying to be on the 4 line for that. Young teams, important that they have a first-round series with home court advantage. And nope.
No favors done.
Nah.
We're not interested in all that.
Nah, keep it. Don't care. So, yeah, that part makes it very, I would say that short-term, the Rockets took a hit. Overall, the last two nights, but long term, you have to be feeling way like more so than the past 10 games. You have to be feeling better, because what was the common refrain every time, the little kind of whispered part at the end after every single one of these Jalen Green huge games that came in wins?
The quiet part that sometimes was said aloud was, well, the schedule. Look who they're playing.
It's the Wizards.
Yeah, the Wizards. It's the Spurs. It's the Blazers, so on and so forth. And then anyone who was very positive. But they did it to the Cavs. That was the one defense. And now you can throw in OKC's. So, yes, the short term, it's a bit of a hit. And the schedule doesn't get easier at all. In fact, it gets harder if we're talking about the final stretch. But they're still in it. And at least for now, whenever the off season begins, you have a bona fide number one in your backcourt. And I'm always a guard guy. I believe guards matter quite a bit. Yep. Now, Jokic, you got Jokic and Giannis, but all those guys have a Jamal Murray or Dame Lillard. And, the Celtics have two wings, mostly Tatum. I mean, Brown, learn to dribble with your left hand. But even still, the Celtics have two wings, two perimeter players. And up until the month of March, we weren't sure the Rockets had a legit one going forward. But as of now, he's not solo in what he's doing, but he is the catalyst. And there's nothing to be said but positives about Jalen Green and just the way he gets his buckets. You look at how he scores, whether it be off the dribble, his ability to change in the lane when he's challenged. Because, Jalen Green wants to dunk on everyone. He tried that last night, got defended at the rim, and found a way through being very creative, put the ball in the hoop with the layup. So he's a guy who can score in multiple ways. And and almost indefensible the way he's playing. You can't guard him. I don't know how you defend him. You want to run two at him. He's found a way to be a guy who can see that, dribble either through or pass out of doubles and make decisions in the lane that result in good shots. And Jabari Smith was a beneficiary late despite struggling. So if we are taking a positive. You win a big game in OKC, but your biggest positive is the way overtime finished. OKC was making shots. The way the fourth quarter finished, OKC was making shots, and you couldn't get the stops you needed. But when it mattered, you kept playing, you kept making shots, and you got the stops in the end to keep yourself within a game. Because after the way you've played, and then you fall to two, fall two games back because you couldn't close out in OKC, I don't know if devastating is the right word, but it would have made the road pretty tough. And if we have real expectations of seeing this team in the play-in, it was needed last night, and they got it done. So all credit to the Rockets. We'll hear from multiple Rockets going forward, including like Tari Eason. The Warriors got to be like, you don't even play. What are you doing? Like Draymond said, we played the sound before. Draymond was asked about his concern about the Rockets. He goes, I don't give a damn about the Rockets. He probably certainly doesn't give a damn about Tari Eason. And Tari is vocal. Look, I don't know how the Rockets handle things, what their policy is on social media and what you can and cannot say. But it wasn't insulting to the Warriors. In fact, it's a callback to an old movie. In fact, Lance has done it. We have the sound. Maybe we compare the two and see who's better. But if I'm the Rockets, I'm like, Tari, we love you. We love you being our biggest fan. But the problem is you are a fan right now. You don't play, and your contributions are on social media. Please, don't aggravate the four-time world champions. But that's going to be a big game coming up here shortly. And thanks to what happened last night, it'll be even bigger. We have opening day. We'll talk about that. We'll give our over-unders, not on like home runs or averages or MVP candidates, but the number of games Sean and I will watch. We talked about this before. I'm telling you, my belief that I will watch very few Friday games, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt my over-under. Look, the Saturday games, Sunday games, cool, getting ready for the show. But the Friday game, I don't see it. Monday through Thursday, I'm in. Sunday, Friday, probably going to do something else. But we'll talk about that going. Sean, maybe you'll watch more games than me. We'll see. We'll see what our numbers are. And we'll also get into, Sean sent me a text yesterday. And it's really the peak of fandom when it comes to college football. We'll talk about his text. If you don't know, he's a big Arch Manning guy. But this particular text and the context, amazing. He was talking to his buddy about Texas practice. So it's college football season if you love spring practice. So we'll get into that as well. But more Rockets, more Astros going forward. And some sound from a relatively big night in the NBA. And De'Aaron Fox had some funny things to say to a reporter. And just when reporters think they have real importance and their questions matter, De'Aaron Fox is like, no, they don't. So we'll have that and more. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I thought it was great. I feel like we've been having a lot of games like that where we showed a lot of poise recently. And that's just growth right there from everybody. And we all stepped up when we needed to defensively, hit shots, and we got the win.
That was Jalen Green discussing the win in overtime for the Rockets over the Thunder. That's now 10 in a row, 37-35 on the year. They're up big early. They're up 15-3. The Thunder looked like a team who was coming off a back-to-back or coming off the first game of a back-to-back and were without their best player. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't play. It certainly looked like it affected them. The Rockets' pace and defense led to them getting buckets and kind of having OKC scramble. Like Lou Dort took multiple threes from the corner early, and the Rockets are like, go ahead, keep taking them. Eventually, OKC settled down, got back in it, and by halftime, they had a lead. It was only 1 point, but it was certainly a contrast from how the game started. And then it was a back and forth the rest of the way, and the Rockets eventually got the job done. Jalen Green there. And after the game, we heard from Tari Eason. And you say, how? Why? Well, Tari can only root, and, you know, he's recuperating from what we didn't know how extensive it was, the injury. And it turns out it was a bit more, it was a bit more scary than we thought when we heard the news, but he's going to be okay. And he's going to be back next year, but he is locked in on his team. And he went on social media after the Rockets win and said this.
Warriors, come out to play! Warriors, come out to play! Yeah, it's like that.
For those of you who don't know, that's from a movie that was it in the late 70s or early 80s, the Warriors movie? But it's a famous line from late 70s, 1979. It's a famous line from that movie. And in fact, it's so famous that not only did Tari Eason do it, our very own Lance Zierlein did it. And probably years ago when the Rockets and Warriors were actually a rivalry, this is Lance Zierlein.
Warriors, come out to play, yeah!
There's a little bit more zest on that, since that's been a word.
A little sing-songy.
Yeah, certainly a little bit more sing-songy and a little bit more zesty. But, Sean, I don't know if you've heard Lance's before. You heard Tari's. Which one, or at least who did it best?
I got to give it to Tari Eason. Because, yeah, Lance's, A, it was, I'll just say sing-songy.
Sing-songy.
Two, like you said, it came from years ago, so that was probably while they were like tied 1-1 in a series that the Rockets would go on to lose in five.
Possibly. They were all losses, so it might have been that one.
I seriously doubt that one came from a happy Rockets moment. Hopefully it was at least from 2018. Any other year it's actually kind of worse if it's from 2019 or what was it, 16 or 15?
I think those, 15, maybe.
15 would have been tough, because I think they went down 3-0 and then won one game.
Yeah, I don't think it was 15. I think it was either him saying he wasn't scared of the Warriors or maybe during a playoff series. Oh, but yes, it was in that era where the Rockets were the only team trying to challenge the Warriors in the Western Conference.
Either way, bad vibes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just Lance in general, but bad vibes from times in the 2010s. So let me get at least the dream that one day we could be the 10 seed.
This is how I know the Warriors are cooked. Tari Eason is doing this, and you're still a game behind them, and he doesn't even play. We're talking about the play-in, and Tari Eason, the Warriors have been in a...
They've won
four titles. they
won one 2 years ago.
They've played against the Rockets in consequential games to determine who would go to the finals. And now they're in a back and forth. I don't think they'll respond. Maybe Draymond will at some point. They're in a back and forth with a young player who has had no part in this run, but is on social media taunting them. They are cooked.
We need, we need the National Guard in for April 4th, mm-hmm. When Draymond Green comes in, or we just need Draymond Green to like get suspended in the like three games that they play before that.
Possibly.
Not off the table.
It is possible. We'll talk about what happened last night. It is possible.
Off the table. But yes, I mean, you hear the, you know, don't want to poke the bears, you know, talk, actually made famous, or not famous, but most recently, you heard that from Dylan Brooks when he was on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, look how that worked out.
Saying that he does poke bears.
Yeah.
But you don't want to poke bears. However, this Warriors team, I'm not sure if they're a bear.
I'm not sure
if they're a grizzly. How about that? They might be a black bear. They're smaller, a little bit more skittish.
At this point, they're pandas, which aren't actually bears.
Oh, wow.
This is where they are right now.
Wow, I mean, they're four-time champions, though.
No, but this iteration are like our red pandas, who aren't actually bears. That's what they are, until proven otherwise. Now, I wouldn't test Steph Curry, and he had a
Steph Curry. I mean, if we're going with the panda analogy, Steph Curry, I don't know if pandas have sharp teeth. He's the sharp teeth on the panda.
Where
no matter what else is going wrong with the Warriors, I mean, they literally won last night. But no matter what else is going wrong with the Warriors, as long as they have that guy, I kind of think that they're going to beat the Rockets.
Just, when it matters most?
As long as they have that guy. I never feel great going into a Warriors match.
Particularly in something that matters to them. And I don't know where they'll be, depending on how the Rockets play leading up to that and how the Warriors play. But it'll be a game that matters. And, I mean, I'm going to side with the Warriors until proven otherwise, as you have let us know. They do have four titles. I mean, but Tari doesn't care. And I guess rightfully so.
No, Tari was in, like, high school, and those titles were.
Which is another thing I'd be pissed off about if I'm the Warriors. We were great once. You still remember that, and you're coming at us, and you're not even going to play? But so be it. We're going to hear about what happened last night with the Warriors. On the other side, because Draymond got ejected. Steve Kerr has some thoughts on it. Someone really funny quote tweeted a picture of, you know, we know Steph's celebration. He puts people to sleep with the threes. He did it. Then he had an elongated celebration against the Magic. He knocked one down to kind of put the game away and then ran all the way to the far into the court doing this I put you to sleep celebration. Then he eventually kicked like a chair courtside. And then after the game, you see him in a tunnel walking back to the locker room, and Draymond's waiting there doing the celebration. Someone said, if I was Steph, I would have punched Draymond in the face. Because if you watch the game in the first quarter when Draymond got ejected, Steph he couldn't believe it. It's like, what are we doing? What are you doing? You know how important this game is to us, and you're getting ejected in the first quarter within like the first 5 minutes because you can't stop talking to a referee? Steph couldn't believe it. He had some comments about we can't keep hurting ourselves. And Steve Kerr, we'll hear from him on the other side about it. But, man, Draymond's a special player in multiple ways. But before we go to break, Julian wants to talk about Shogun and Tari Eason. What's up, Julian?
I'm not going to talk about Tari because it's annoying, to be honest with you.
Are you a Warriors
fan?
You're a 49er
fan. Oh, no, I'm not a Warriors fan.
Okay.
I'm not a Warriors fan.
Okay.
I just think it's silly, bro.
Oh, I got
you. I think it's silly. You played a team without their MVP candidate. Y'all went into overtime, and yes, y'all won. It was a good win, absolutely. It looks good for on the optics. It looks good for your record and yada yada. This winning streak or the winning y'all been doing, it's awesome. But y'all been playing tomato cans. Let's just like wait a little bit. Wait till you actually make the playoffs, or you're gonna play them to say that. Or I don't know, maybe wait till you're playing. Anyways, Shogun. Are you excited about the Crimson Sky? I don't know what the hell it is, but I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, what he's talking about, the latest episode of Shogun, there was multiple references to this battle plan that the leader didn't want to do because it meant a lot of people were going to die. But now he's been pushed into a corner where it's his only option. And of course I am. I love conversations in small rooms, but we're going to get people, a lot of people are going to die. And Shogun has done that well, showing people and the brutality of war, the cannon fodder stuff I still remember from a couple episodes ago. So, yes, Julian, I want to know what Crimson Sky is. Is it something sneaky? Is it just an out-and-out giant battle scene? Shogun is unfortunately for us, it's a limited series. We're only going to get one season of it, so it's not going to be this long thing where we're going to be able to enjoy it like we might enjoy other prestige television. But of course, let me see. I'm locked in on the show. Julian is as well. He's every time we kind of talk about it, he brings something to the table during the week of. So yeah, Julian, I agree on both counts. The Tari Eason thing is funny, but it's a little ridiculous considering who he's taunting and what we've seen them to be capable of. And the biggest thing is you're not even playing. If you could do something about it, I'd be more inclined to go, okay, great, Tari, but the most you're going to do is sit there and watch, and hopefully the other guys have to back up. I guess it's a taunt. I mean, all he did was do a quote from a movie, but yes, calling out the Warriors is interesting for a guy who won't play a minute in the game and hasn't played a minute in months. I don't normally agree with you because you know all that 49er stuff you do, but on this account, I agree. Thank you, Julian.
Would it be better if he taunted the Thunder?
In fact, yeah, you just beat them.
Yeah, I think that's part of it is that you're already looking ahead.
And it's funny you're taunting them when it's still the status quo. Nothing changed last night. It's not as if you even tied them last night. There's still a game up on you. What's the tiebreaker? So even if you beat them and you're tied, say you go into that game a game back and you beat them, they still have the tiebreaker over. They still make the playoffs, or the play-in in that case, if the season ended that day or that night. So, yes, Rockets having fun. Tari's just funny. That's all. That's all. We'll hear from the Warriors side. We got other things to get to as well. But I mentioned Draymond getting ejected. Steve Kerr talked about it. And we'll move on to other stuff as well. Plenty of show to get to. Opening day is today. Our over-unders as far as games watched, we'll get to in the next segment as well. Astros, Rockets, anything else you want to talk about, just call us, 713-780-3776. And obviously, if you want to tweet at us, at Sean A. Mapes and at DelV2. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. A lot of Rockets talk to start. They are the hot team of the moment. Of course, the Astros begin their season today. Did want to wrap up kind of the Rockets stuff. The team they're chasing is the Warriors. They won last night in Orlando, unfortunately. As we said, the state of Florida did the Rockets no favor over the last couple of nights. We thought we were getting some help, courtesy of the Warriors themselves, when Draymond Green gets ejected very early in the game for arguing with a referee. He's had an interesting 48 hours. He clotheslined Patty Mills, and they're reviewing that. They only ruled that a common foul in the game against the Heat. Last night, typical Draymond arguing and couldn't let it go, so the official threw him out. I talked about Steph Curry's reaction to it and how I guess everyone's might be tired of it, particularly in a season where things haven't gone the way they wanted to. Here's Steve Kerr discussing the ejection and how his team responded.
Yeah, too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. He'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up. Moses came off the bench. Had a big game for us. Gee made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
Yeah, the Warriors win, remain a game up, and it made me think of an altercation. Well, Draymond's had a couple of altercations with Yusuf Nurkic. Nurkic is the center for the Phoenix Suns. The biggest one was where Draymond hauled off and punched him, and then they had a back and forth in Golden State where they were both doing the too small celebrations to each other. Here's a bit of the initial press conference after Nurkic was hit by Draymond. And who knew? Nurkic, a pretty bright guy.
That brother needed help.
It's pretty simple. That brother needed help. And is he wrong? A lot of people, and Draymond was upset. He was talking about how Kevin Durant and Nurkic were commenting on him and how they know about his state of mind and his mental health and so on and so forth. And, well, kind of proven to be right. What's changed? He's still hitting people. He's still getting thrown out of important games. And it's even more exacerbated because the team isn't that good and they need him on the floor. Hopefully he'll get thrown out of the Rockets game very early. That would help.
Or not, because they won this one without him.
That's true. And
he is starting to get to the point where it's like not always a bad thing when he gets thrown out.
True. Just because of he's declining as an older player, a lot of miles on those legs. And at points, he will lose his head as simply a basketball player and do things that don't help the team win as far as actual basketball players.
Yeah.
Forget about the stuff that gets him ejected.
Yeah, when he's in like it's kind of like Framber Valdez, where it's like when he's in the right state of mind.
Yes,
positive, unequivocal, definitely positive for the Warriors. But if you're a Warriors fan, you rather just have him out of the game if he's just going to, like you said, it's back to back games where he's clotheslining Patty Mills and now getting kicked out 5 minutes into the game, where it's like he just has these weird stretches where he just like cannot control himself. It's crazy because he was pretty well behaved. I don't know when the last time we talked about a Draymond Green issue since the Nurkic stuff.
And it's the perfect scenario because the Rockets don't back down. Even last night,
that's why I called the National Guard.
Jabari Smith was on the floor, and Josh Giddey reached out to try to pick him up, and Jabari really, you know, some guys, no, you're not going to help me up. I'll let my teammate help me up. And then Josh Giddey was like, no, I'm going to help you up. And he grabbed him with both hands.
Josh Giddey not taking no for an answer.
I'm going to let that sit. And then we move on.
Okay.
Then we move on.
He played well last night.
You all know what he's referring to. And yes, he had a great night last night. Josh Giddey did. But Jabari was like, no, I don't want your help. So Josh Giddey said, yeah, you're going to take my help. And then Dylan Brooks came over and said, no. You're not helping him up off the floor. So he shoved Josh Giddey out of the way. You know, pushy shovey. Nothing really happened. The Rockets move on. It was, I think, maybe the second of two things that happened last night in the game. So the Rockets aren't going to back down from Draymond. So you might see fireworks, or maybe one of the members of either the Rockets or the Warriors gets hauled off by the National Guard if we need them to. So that game is down the line a little bit, but getting closer and closer, and it'll be pretty influential. Okay, so before we go, we were long in the last segment, so it's a short one here. I did mention to Sean I wanted to get our over-unders for the Astros as far as games watch. The season starts today. Fromber's on the hill. And Sean, you heard Sean mention Fromber. Hopefully we get good Fromber. The Fromber who's great with his sports psychologist, had a couple good sessions, and he's locked in for the season. Hopefully we get the Fromber from 2022, not the not-so-great Fromber of last year. And the extensions are gone. So we'll see if it's a reverse Samson thing where without the extensions we get 2022 Fromber. We'll see. We will see. But he's on the mound tonight. He's on the mound today. And the Astros kick off their season. Or first. I don't know how. What's the proper term for baseball? It's not kick. That's the football thing.
Oh,
opening
yeah.
tip. Kickoff. Does baseball have one? For starting, we'll just call it opening day.
They start their season?
Yeah. I don't think baseball has a terminology for like football and basketball does. They start their season with Fromber on the mound. I did look at the number of Friday games I talked about in the first segment. I don't know how many Friday games I'm going to watch just simply because sometimes you just want to do something else. And thanks to the handy dandy schedule on MLB.com/Astros, you can break it down by days. So if I did the math, and it's not really math, I just had to count and see if I did it right or I missed a game. It looks like there's 23 Friday games.
Yeah, I'm flipping through. It looks like they only have one Friday off.
Okay, so 23 what? And that will yeah.
That's August 26th.
Okay,
April 26th.
How does that work? Why would they even have a Friday off?
I don't know.
That's odd. Okay, maybe it's a two-game series.
Yeah, it is a two-game series at Colorado. And also, there's a lot more days off early in the season for, like, rainouts for
okay, to make
teams.
Up games if you need to. Okay, so I think I see 23 Friday games. I got to be honest, I'm probably not going to watch more than four. And maybe that might be high for.
I was thinking you're going to say you're going to go 0-for-23 on
It's
Friday.
Possible. It's possible. Friday is my night off from having to watch something for the job. Not that it's a real job, but you understand. Maybe I want to watch something else. So I'm going to give myself four, which means now I have 158 games. No, it's less than that. I'm doing the math wrong. But I'm saying four of 23 Fridays I'm going to watch, which certainly severely limits the number of games I will watch. Sean, do you think you get over 100 games watched this year?
I think I do. And I'm defining watch as it's on a laptop as I'm watching something
Yeah, I'm not
else.
Saying you're locked in, but the game is on. If something happens, you'll know it when it happens.
Yes, I think 100 is like the right number, too, because I think that it doesn't get too much higher from 100, but also if I fall short, it's probably still like in the 90s.
Okay. So if I take away the 23 Friday games, and Sean might be right, I may never watch a Friday game.
I just can't see you.
Not even four, maybe? Okay.
I don't, I, let me.
So it's 130
Rangers on Friday.
I don't. That's not gonna. The Silver Boot's not gonna appeal to me. 139 games without the 23 Friday games. Let's say I only watch the four. That would be well over 100. I think I'm in the 110, 115 range.
Are you gonna watch many Saturday games?
Ooh, yes. It'll lead into work. So Saturday games. Well, will I watch Saturday afternoon games?
Mm.
Saturday night, I probably will.
I think this is also a case of the first couple months, probably a little lighter. Probably going to be have to be more intensive once we go June, July.
Yes, because the show has set a standard that we think the season doesn't really begin till June or July.
And also because just the amount of things that we're going to be able to talk about go down that are
quite a bit
other than baseball.
We're on the Lance McCullers schedule. His season doesn't begin till June or July either.
June would be nice.
Yeah, we hope June. We hope it's June for Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia. So I think the number of 100, give or take 10. So I'm going to say 105, over under. 105 for me, which means which is what I want the season to be overall. I'd rather have it. Why are we playing 162? That's my thing I stand on. It's too many games. Give me 105. 105 means it feels like a sprint the entire time. And even still, it'll be a marathon.
Yeah. You get, like, what, one day off a week, basically?
Yeah.
Like, every team gets a day off.
Sure. But we know baseball's all about numbers and records, so we're never going to do that. They've done their part by shortening the games. So, 105. I'm going to keep track. I'm going to set the number at 105.
And I think there's a chance that you get more than me. Although, I might just throw it on a Saturday or something, or a Friday night. That might be enough. If I can get like 12 Friday games, that might
see,
be enough.
See, you threw a wrench in my number because the Saturday thing is going to be a thing for me. Sunday, I'm definitely watching.
I think the first half, like, I assume there's also 23. Actually, there's probably 24 Saturday games. I don't know if they'll have a Saturday off. And so yeah, you'll probably, and let's just chop it down the middle, so you'll probably watch 12. No, I'll give you 16. 16 of the 24 Saturday games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the last 16. More likely. Not October.
That first eight. That's up for debate.
I'm not sure I'm going to be here.
Particularly with the NBA playoffs going on Saturdays.
That's the key part. That's why I'm saying, like, June, I think that the amount gets ratcheted up because through April and May, you have other things on.
Definitely. So if you have, I don't know, maybe some of you guys might be 140 game guys. I don't know. Let us know. Our over-under is right, well, at least mine is right at 105, and that certainly can fluctuate. If you guys are locked in for the entire year, maybe you got like Astros fatigue, not in the sense that you're tired of them, but you kind of know who this team is. They're going to be really good. You're not going to be locked in every day. I know that happens. You can call on 713-780-3776 on that. Eric, I see you. We're way late for a break. You want to talk Rockets? We'll talk to Eric when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. We have some things planned, but we have a couple of callers. Eric's a frequent caller. Dr. Dre, will get to you too. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. That was the game of the year last night with the Rockets. DC, them two being rivals for a long time. And also, they found a lot of videotape of celebrities in P. Diddy's house. Will Diddy end up unalive, or is he going to be okay? And is Lady Fritz coming back since her dad's the coach of the Cougars?
The second part, well, the third part, I don't know about the second part about who did he ask was going to be in Diddy's videos, or did he say he was going to wind up alive?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, the third part, he asked about Lainey Fritz, because Willie Fritz is the head coach of the Cougars. She'll probably be around the program. I believe she's either engaged or married. I'm not sure how that affects you, Eric, in your I won't call it obsession, but interest in her. But You'll probably see her on the sidelines. Her dad coaches the team in town. Why that matters to you? Why? I know why it matters to you, but I don't want to get into it. As far as OKC versus the Rockets, possibly. It all depends on the rivalries begin when someone takes something away that matters. Like a regular season game between the two, that doesn't start a rivalry. If the Rockets are on the OKC trajectory, OKC was a playing team last year, I believe. If the Rockets make it or get close, and all of a sudden they shoot to a level where they're competing for a top four seed like OKC is this year, and then they meet in the playoff series, then they're rivals. Up until that point, no. They're just two teams competing, and they played a great game last night. We all know the deal. Rivalries start when something matters to you and the other team takes it from you.
I think Lainey Fritz is engaged. Instagram.
She is engaged. Pregnant. I think she's engaged to a football coach. I don't remember who he is or what his name is.
I can't click on the link without having to sign in. I don't care that much.
Understood. You're not going to sign into the company's computer to find out. I'm right there with
you. I don't care what football coach he's married to.
Yeah. I think he was a player at Auburn at some point.
Yes, because there's pictures in front of Jordan Ayer.
on her profile.
Yeah.
We get a tweet from someone who I will not name. A text. I'll never get the obsession these dudes. Nah, I can't even read that. Because it's not complimentary. And then he mentions names in the text.
You know what? Good catch. Joe George of Galan George will sometimes just read a text without like reading it all the way through, and just at the end of it be like, "That wasn't a good text." but he would already have read it.
Yeah, you got to put your own filter on things sometimes. And I was going through it because this guy, we were talking earlier about other things, and he texted me, and I like to. He goes, "You can't read that on air, man." I know. I didn't. I did not read it on air.
You started.
You had me in the first half. You had me in the first half. And then I realized, nope, can't do that. Not that I would give his name out, but then it makes me look awful if I read the complete thing and then name the names he named. But yeah, I agree, sir. I agree.
Can you read it without naming the names?
Yes, it was in reference to, Eric and others will call in, mostly Eric will do this, he'll call in about anchors and other women, and, you know, I'm not going to get involved in it, mostly because most of the women, I don't even know what they look like, because he mentions a lot of, news women that I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And this wasn't specific to Eric, but, you know, some guys will get obsessed with a woman because she's famous, and this guy said, "I don't get the obsession. She's famous. Doesn't mean she's not mid. Why do you care? Why do you care?" That's what he was saying. He goes,
"Okay, I get it.
Yeah, why are we talking about just because she's has a name doesn't mean you have to be obsessed with her. That's all." But he named some names, and I can't do it. Cannot do it. There's some things you have to protect. And although it's we would call it guy talk, but I can't read them. Dr. Dre wants to talk about Jalen Green, and who doesn't want to talk about Jalen Green the way he's playing? What's up, Dr. Dre?
Hey, well, what's up, fellas? Hey, Eric Wong, go back to busting the tables at the China Garden, man. It's lunch rush hour, man. Get ready.
That's uncomfortable.
Go ahead. Well, no, I was calling in for the patron saint of procreation, Jalen Green. You know, I find it unfortunate how he puts the kitty on a pedestal instead of putting basketball on a pedestal, you know. Like they say, ball is life, and I think he's got a different interpretation on that. And appreciate the time, man. Peace.
Thank you. If you don't know where that reference comes from, I said that earlier. We were joking about he had it. Jalen Green quote mentioned after a game that his added focus was about his baby. And then we saw stories come out that maybe there's more than one. I don't know what's real, what isn't. And of course, because that show will get off the rails sometimes because of me, sometimes because of the other guys, that I called him a saint, the patron saint of procreation. Because apparently we were talking about the church of Jalen because of how good he's playing. And then it devolved into that. I don't know what he puts on the pedestal. All I know is, and frankly, I don't care. All I know right now is he has played like one of the best players in the NBA. And that's all you can say. So we can talk about what he values more, but you can't look at how he's played and say he doesn't value basketball right now. He is carrying this Rockets team without Alperen Şengün, who was supposed to be what we thought, because of play, their best player. They lose their best player. They lose Cam Whitmore. Tari Eason's been gone for a while. And yet, they are one of the best teams of basketball over the stretch. And even more validation last night, despite missing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that Thunder team is still a pretty good one, particularly when Josh Giddey's going to play like he did. And Jalen Green carried them, made plays for himself, made plays for others, and the Rockets won a game in OKC, a game a lot of people didn't think they could win. So credit to them.
No matter what, he's put it on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he should have Irish twins, and that should be his thing. Because if the baby is what's got him to this point, maybe we got to keep having more babies. That's all. I am one who doesn't buy into that, because Jalen Green didn't find out he was going to be a father in March. He knew beforehand, and he stunk in February.
This is really stretching the baby bump theory, because yes, he knew before we knew. It's like we're going off of when it was public.
Yes, and posted and acknowledged. Yes.
Yes, and the kid has not actually been born yet either. So it's like a double.
Yes, this isn't like when Fred Van Fleet went off in the playoffs after he was a new father. I know people, oh, the baby. Look, how about Jalen Green's a really talented player and the system fits right now because of the lack of Şengün, and he's taking advantage of it. If he wants to credit an added focus, great. But as we said, the baby, he wasn't surprised by the baby announcement. He knew. And February, he was awful. So why now is the baby important and leading to great play? Let's just give him credit for playing great basketball. Stop looking into other things. He ain't got nothing to do with that baby. But congratulations to Green and his significant other, and hopefully a healthy and happy baby girl. I believe that the gender has been announced as well. But yeah, I don't know what's on a pedestal. He's just playing really great basketball. You got to credit him for that. I feel like I deftly avoided any issues there. Hopefully, we will be back. But first, I want to talk about my bookie. My bookie is the place you can go to for tonight. The tournament is back Thursday night. We had Five Star on earlier, not on this show, but on the John Lance show. And if you like his picks or you don't think he's right, you can go to mybookie.ag to put money down on the games. It's a place, I keep talking about it, it's a place that gives you help. You don't have to be an expert. They have experts for you to give you up-to-date odds and their predictions on what's going to happen. Maybe you like props. Maybe you're like Jonte Porter and love props. You can bet on who's going to be the top scorer tonight. You can bet on rebounds. You can do all that at MyBookie. It's a place to go if you think you have insight on what's going to happen, not just in basketball. You know, the baseball season starts tonight, too, or this afternoon, too. So another option for you. And, of course, for you hockey people, MyBookie's there for you. Just use promo code BET975. If you put in $200, you get $300 ready to play instantly with that promo code. The fun doesn't stop there. I mentioned the up-to-the-minute odds, the props, the week's expert predictions. And the best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. Use promo code BET975 to secure your welcome bonus today, only with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.